Every seller has a story.
I'm Georgia Mampanis, and welcome to the sixth installment of the eBay Seller Spotlight Podcast, where each month we spotlight a seller with a story to share with us. Our guest this episode is a seller who took her networks she built in the entertainment industry and ran with it after she realized she did not want to go back to her full-time career after maternity leave. Welcome, Dana Wainwright.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dana, tell us about your business. What do you sell?
So I sell mostly clothing and accessories, mainly women's. Women, I have just noticed over many years of doing this, seem to be the ones shopping in the resale marketplace a little bit more. So I've just skewed towards my clients being mainly women, but occasionally I will accept some men's items as well, just to test throughout the years, you know, what's selling, what's not. And I think that's really part of the overall resale marketplace, is to really test different things out and what sells better than others. At this time, though, it's mainly focused on women's clothing and accessories. So it's clothing, shoes, handbags, wallets, sunglasses, all the fun things that women have in their closets and like to rotate through.
Amazing. And when did you start selling?
I started in, I believe it was 2004.
You're almost at 10 years. Almost.
Yeah. And eBay was a very daunting place back then. The interface was very difficult and overwhelming. We've come a long way. I say we because I like to believe I'm part of the family. I've been here for so long. It's an incredible marketplace now. It's super user-friendly for sellers and buyers. Yeah, it's just, I mean, the support on both ends, the support that sellers get, the support that buyers get. It's really just become, without a doubt, the top marketplace to for sure be a seller on. And even as a buyer, I mean, people were very scared as a buyer on eBay for many, many years, just thinking that they were getting scammed or what purchasing was, you know, not authentic. And now, I mean, there's just no one can use those excuses anymore. I mean, eBay is for sure at the top of its game.
So you are a veteran on the site. You've been selling for a while and you sell incredible items. Where did your passion and your knowledge for designer products stem from?
You know, I kind of just stumbled into it. I wouldn't ever say that I grew up in a super, like super duper fashion girly type. I grew up more of a tomboy. I had brothers. I was an athlete, but my mom was quite stylish and I always admired her style, and she was always very put together and still is today. Just seeing all the fabulous things in her closet kind of introduced me to designer, but I sure wasn't shopping designer in my youth for myself. And it wasn't until, I believe, probably in my college days when I was just exposed to more people coming from all over the world, just with all their other different fashion sense and different brands that people were interested, that I just was exposed to a lot more. I went to study abroad in Italy my junior year of college. Oh. So I kind of felt like I was in a little bit of the fashion mecca of the world, exposed to all those fabulous designer brands in Florence, Prada and Miu Miu. And my first designer purchase ever was a Prada bag from Florence when I was studying abroad. And it was this canvas tote that I was just so in awe with. I loved it so much. It was a pink canvas with little tones of white. And it just seemed super subtle for, as what was I, a 20-year-old at the time. Felt a little bit out of my reach financially, but I felt like it was an investment. And years later, when I launched my business, it happened to be the first item I sold on eBay.
I was going to ask you, do you still have it? Because I feel like I still have my first designer piece.
If I did, it would, I mean, it would be super vintage, amazing, obviously. But I don't, because that was my first foray into eBay. And now, who knows where it is? But it did go to some other wonderful home who hopefully enjoyed it.
What were you doing before you started your business?
When I had graduated college, it was 1990, not to date me or anything, but 1997, and the internet was quite a new place. There was so much excitement and buzz around internet everything, so it just felt appropriate to try and get a job in that realm. My first job out of college was at E Entertainment's website, E Online, in ad sales. Now, ad sales at the time in 1997 was quite a foreign concept. Not foreign, I mean, it was just totally new. I mean, no one knew anything about ad sales. It was a very difficult marketplace to try and get all these major brands to take traditional ad dollars and put them towards online, which I had learned, of course, was a lot more measurable. But as a big brand, it was just too new. And it was just something people needed to take baby steps with. But I learned so much. It was fantastic. E Entertainment was amazing. And fast forward a couple years, not too many years, but then it started to become this whole internet IPO boom. And I was like, I want to be a part of that. I want to get in somewhere where I could maybe be a part of an IPO. I moved over to a company called eToys, which was basically the first big toy store online, which was super fun. Just great timing. I mean, I was really entering the workforce at such an incredible time of all new things happening, and I loved to be a part of it. I joined their marketing team on the other side in the affiliate marketing world, which was fantastic to learn about because now, I mean, affiliate marketing is so big. It's basically now called influencer marketing. And it was so fun. So I've just learned so much. So I jumped around for a couple different companies until I then decided to have children. Mm-hmm. Had children, took a little bit of time off. I had twins, as a matter of fact. So I wasn't quite sure how demanding of, my time that would be. So I decided maybe taking 2 years off from working might be a good thing. 2 years later, I was ready. I was ready to get back and get my mind working on some other things. And my husband kept encouraging me to just try and sell some things on eBay for fun, just out of my own closet, because he thought that I could turn that into something. He really inspired me to do it. And like I said, it was just such a daunting, overwhelming marketplace at that time. He really had to sit down with me and show me how to actually create a listing. And at that time, there was no third party listing services. It was like, you got to do it online. And I don't know, I put it out of my head. It was so scary. But I finally did it and I sold my first item. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. The Prada bag that I was referring to. It's like, oh my God, this is amazing that somebody wants this. I loved it. I loved it for years. And it was just incredible to see that somebody else wanted to purchase it. So I was like, wow, this is a thing. So I scoured my closet for a few other things. I can't to this day remember what they were, but whatever they were, it worked. The system worked. I started telling friends about it. And I said, hey, you know, guys, I've been selling things out of my closet. You guys should really do this too. You know, if you have anything in your closet, let me know. You know, I'll help you out. And it was all very viral, very organically. And it kind of just spread like that because I really didn't have to advertise what I was doing. People were just talking about it because in 2004, no one was doing this really. I mean, this was still very new for a lot of people. It was easier to just give your stuff away than to list something on a marketplace. I mean, eBay was the only marketplace to do it back then. So friends would ask me to sell things. And before I know it, things piled up in my bedroom, really. My desk was in my bedroom and I was just working out of my bedroom. And my husband encouraged me to maybe go look into finding a teeny office. And I did. And I kept growing out of that teeny office and I needed more and more space. And it was scary. I mean, I was like, I don't know if this is going to work out. I can't commit to too much square footage and having to pay rent. Anyways, long story short, I'm still here.
And the rest is history. You never went back.
And the office space kept growing. So it's been a super fantastic ride. And I feel so blessed to even have this business because I started before resale and sustainability and this marketplace was a thing. And so I feel so honored that I'm a part of this now and was kind of, you know, on the forefront of it all.
Your store, it's called Celebrity Owned. What was your first ever interaction with a celebrity?
Well, I'm not going to name names, but or should I?
Yeah, why not? Okay. Please.
So I had a dear friend in high school whose father worked for a big company in Los Angeles and had many friends that were celebrities. And I was fortunate enough to be invited on some vacations with these.
Okay.
And what an experience it was. So I believe I went on two different vacations. One of them was with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. And Now, mind you, at the time I hadn't even started my business yet. So this was, maybe I was 18 or 19 years old. And their children, Nicole and Tom's children were babies at that time. So that was probably my first. And then Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh, my favorite celebrity couple, actually. So
this is more than just a sighting at a restaurant or, you know, somewhere local. This was an actual vacation. And it was quite amazing. I mean, they're just people and they're, you know, most of them are incredible humans. So it was just nice to just see like what life is like for them off the grid. And it was really cool. Really cool. I was so blessed to have that opportunity.
I want your life. That's awesome.
I was joining on to someone else's life. Definitely not how I live.
Can I ask you some of the celebrity names that you've worked with and sold items for?
Unfortunately, due to confidentiality agreements, I do not disclose who my clients are. But I was fortunate enough to start my business back in 2004 with some awesome celebrity client referrals. And it's grown to, you know, many more since then. But just to respect their privacy and the things that they sell, I just do not disclose who they are. And, you know, over the years, you know, the resale marketplace has become so big. So, you know, when others ask me to sell things, if they're not a celebrity, I'm not going to say no, because, you know, we always need inventory. And there's so many fabulous closets out there. But being in Los Angeles, and I did grow up in the entertainment industry with my parents, and my father is an entertainment lawyer and my brother is a producer. The tentacles go out and we've reached plenty of people, whether they be, you know, actors, actresses, or producers, or agents, all the Hollywood types.
Beyond disclosure, what other issues arise when dealing with high-profile consignment?
To be honest, not many. I mean, it's been a super seamless process for me. Like I said, I'm, you know, what am I going on, 18 years now. My clients have all been super happy with my, you know, what I've been able to do for them. They keep coming back. No complaints on either end.
What is your favorite item that you've ever sourced or sold, whether it's from a celebrity or not?
This is actually really interesting. It's probably not what you're going to think at all. But 10 to 12 years ago, I had a client, she collected Chanel nail polishes. And some of them were limited edition and not used. Chanel would create these colors and then that was it. They would launch them once. She had a little collection of them and asked them if it's something that I would sell. And I was like, yeah, never thought about it, but why not? I mean, there's a marketplace and there's a buyer for everything. There happened to be this one color that was super sought after when I was doing my research. And I reached out to her and I said, hey, you know, do you happen to have this color? Because I think that this can really go for a lot of money. She did. And she was okay parting with it. And it ended up selling for, I think, like $350.
Sorry, what is this color name?
It was like almost a jade green. But I was like, wow, this is incredible. And it just kind of solidified my whole belief in eBay with like, you got things, you got buyers, you got sellers. Let's make it all happen.
Hey, oh my God, incredible. I wish I could sell my nail polishes for $300.
I know. So that was just like the most unique thing, I thought, for sure.
When you first started off in 2004, you had mentioned you were one of the first few in the game. Now it's saturated. What would you say makes your store stand out?
I've got over 42,000 positive feedbacks. And I'm a top seller. So I'd like to believe that when people are shopping for items, if I have an item versus someone selling the same exact item that maybe doesn't have very much feedback at all, they'd probably buy the item for me. Even maybe if it was a little bit more expensive, they probably know what kind of experience they're going to have just by reading my feedback. As much as I've grappled with eBay's feedback rating system over the years and been pretty upset with it from time to time, I think in the end, it makes sense for sure to have something like that, because how is anyone supposed to know what they're getting, you know, otherwise? Other than that, I would say it's interesting because yes, you know, 18 years ago, eBay was the only place to buy anything. If I was selling a Gucci bag, let's say, there was maybe two or three of us resellers doing this at the time that were, you know, building any type of reputation. So we had the market share. It was pretty good times. It was a super lucrative business, let me tell you. Then many, many, many more players came on board. And there is room for all of us, of course, but of, you know, my sales were definitely affected by all of that. But I also do like to educate my clients and just to really set their expectations that the marketplace, as you said, is very saturated with a lot of the same stuff. And you've got sellers selling these same items for all different prices. And there's some that just are really listing them. I'd like to say listing, not selling, because they're listing them for prices that they're just going to end up sitting there for a really long time. So I try and educate my clients and say, hey, you could do your own research and see that you might see this, let's just say a Prada bag, for anywhere from $500 to $1,200. But let's be realistic and, you know, let's list it at a price that's it's going to sell at, you know, unless you really just want it to sit here. I just think it's important to just educate them and set their expectations. You know what? To be perfectly honest, 98% of my clients, the items they're giving me, they're done with them. They've enjoyed them. They've used them. They're ready to move on, ready to find a new home for them, have them just complete this whole little like recycling sustainability cycle. And it works out for everyone. And those are the best clients for me, because that's a client that's like, here's my fabulous stuff. Let someone else enjoy it. That allows me to list it at a lower price so that someone can come in and buy it secondhand. That's really the best case scenario for all of it. However, I do have some clients that will say, you know what, hey, I really don't want to sell this unless I'm going to get a particular amount of money for it. And I have that too. Those are items that are going to be priced higher. I do allow offers on all my items. So I just found that that has worked really well on eBay. And I'm just waiting for eBay to launch the immediate payment on all accepted offers. because that will be a game changer. I have a lot of non-paying bidders and offer people. But anyways, the whole thing is just, it works really well. And like I said, 98% of my clients do not really care what I'm selling their stuff for. So it really allows me to price it to sell.
When you do get an offer, do you touch base with the client and say, hey, this is what the offer is. Are you interested? Or you just go for it?
On the higher end item, I absolutely do. And we kind of have that agreement like, hey, I'm going to price this here. I'm going to add a little cushion so that customers can make offers and I'm going to present the offers to you. It works out great. The offer feature is fantastic. I love it.
I'm glad to hear. Well, this has been fabulous. And I can talk to you all day about designers and celebrities and eBay, but I want to end this interview with a little food for thought. So you've clearly made some very good connections for your business. And although not everyone can build those celebrity connections, what are some important connections you suggest sellers make that will benefit their business?
I think if a seller is looking to start a resale type business and looking for new clients, just being really upfront with them and just setting their expectations about what this marketplace and this process is all about. Really just being personal. I think that what sets me apart from some of the other big resale platforms out there, or the bigger companies that are in this business, they're too big. You just don't really have any type of personalization. My clients can text me. They're going to get a response rather quickly. They can say, hey, you know, are you available to swing by my house and pick up some items? Can we talk about my inventory? Can you tell me what hasn't sold? Can you send me an update? Like whatever it may be, they know they're going to get an answer from me really quickly. I think that personalization and just, you know, one-on-one is really beneficial for a lot of people, especially, you know, if you have clients that don't know you and they're giving you hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars worth of inventory and you're taking it from them and they don't really know who you are other than just, you know, have maybe received a referral from another friend. Just like really touching base with them and making them feel comfortable. Like your stuff is safe with me. Don't you worry. I have a very organized system. You can ask me questions, check in anytime you want. I'm here for you. Just making it really just feeling like they're in a safe, comfortable environment with this person. The way I started by gaining more clients is 18 years ago, I just sent a letter in the mail to anyone I had an address for that I thought would be a good fit and just say, hey, you know, if you're ever cleaning out your closet, call me. This is what I'm doing. And if you have things that you'd like to get rid of, I'd love to try to sell them for you. And that letter probably sat in people's closets or their desks or their home, their kitchens, wherever they keep their mail for a while. But the phone calls did roll in. I really do think that there's something to that. And it's a great way for someone to start a business. Reach out to everyone you know. Your inner circle or even your, you know, slightly greater circle are your people to start with. That's how things start. And it's a very organic process that way. And it's a good way to test the market. If you just want to get your toes wet, talk to the people that are closest to you.
Would you ever consider maybe selling your contact list?
If someone wanted to buy my business, maybe. I actually could never give up this business. I would be so sad. My husband even says all the time, he's like, if we won the lottery, would you still work? And I said, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. If I had your business, I'd work too.
We just spend the money. Like, I love having something to do every day. You know, this is just fun. And like, back to the Chanel nail polish. I mean, to see what people are willing to pay for things, like what a joy that is. Like, that's what makes this marketplace so fun is that like, you just do not know who is willing to pay what for something. I could have something that I'm listing that someone has been looking for years. And I list it and it sells within 5 minutes. Wow.
Please let listeners know, where can they find your store online and your social handles as well?
On eBay, you can find me under, I think it's stores.ebay.com/celebrityowned. And I am also on Instagram at celebrityowned. I post a lot of new items on Instagram. I do Instagram lives. I hope to one day do some eBay lives. So come check me out.
Thank you so much, Dana.
Thank you for having me.
Dana Weinroth sells on eBay under the store name Celebrity Owned. Check out some of the great designer pieces she has listed and play a guessing game. See if we can figure out which celebrity owned what. Happy shopping. We hope you'll join us on our next episode where we'll share the spotlight on another seller with an incredible story to share. I'm your host, Georgia Mampanis. Jim Griffith is our editor-in-chief. The eBay Seller Spotlight podcast is produced by Libsyn and Podcast 411.